On to item six, Smith Iron and Metal. Juliet, how are you?
Good morning. The matter before you today is Smith Iron Metal Company, Inc., requesting authorization to dredge 2,700 cubic yards of state-owned bottom in the James River to a maximum depth of minus 15 feet mean low water to maintenance dredge this area on an as-needed basis and to dredge and fill tidal wetlands in a man-made cove for the installation of a 500-foot bulkhead and a 111-foot by 73-foot concrete boat ramp associated with the development of a marine terminal at 1304-1308 Bellwood Road in Chesterfield County. This project will require both a subaqueous and a wetlands permit. And additionally, the matter now involves Commission's consideration of enforcement action for work conducted without a wetlands permit. Chesterfield County has not yet adopted the wetlands ordinance, and the Commission is acting as the local wetlands board. And I'm going to first review the project, and then I'll go over the unauthorized work in the wetlands. The project property is located just outside the city of Richmond. It's about a half mile down from Drury's Bluff and the Richmond National Battlefield along a tidal reach of the James River. The property is located in an industrial park within Chesterfield County. The area is zoned as heavy industrial. You can see the industrialized land use around the property noted here with the green marker. There were two other sites within Chesterfield County that were evaluated for this project, but Bellwood location was chosen because it was previously impacted site with direct access to the James River. This man-made basin was created from the uplands sometime in the 80s by the Virginia Department of Transportation. It's an old borrow pit site that was used for sand and gravel, and it's currently being used as a private marina. The applicants are proposing to develop a marine terminal within this basin that will include the importing and exporting of commodities and recycled materials, as well as dismantling old barges. The project itself will include dredging within the cove and within the James River, construction of a bulkhead along the eastern and the southern shorelines, and a concrete boat ramp along the western extent of the southern shoreline. The Commission's jurisdiction in this matter includes the dredging within the James River and the tidal wetlands within the basin. Any subaqueous work within the basin is man-made and outside the Commission's jurisdiction. This was a ground shot taken on July 16th of 2012. This is standing on the southern shoreline looking out towards the James River. It's out in the background. In the foreground, you can see the tending pier and the boat ramp off to the left there. All of these old structures will be removed for the project. This is standing on the southern shoreline, looking around on the left, the western orientation. On the right, they're looking at the eastern shoreline. The intertidal zone is characterized by a rocky, cobbly substrate with narrow woody debris in the lower intertidal zone. The upper intertidal area has a narrow band of vegetation, and then that transitions rapidly into a woody upland vegetation. The existing wetlands vegetation that you can see is Justicia americana, and this plant is actually not specifically listed in the Virginia Tidal Wetlands Law. Therefore, we treat this wetland as a non-vegetated wetland, and the Commission's jurisdiction is from mean high water to mean low water. This is a plan view of the proposed shoreline work. Mean low water is in green, and mean high water is in blue. There's no development proposed on the western shoreline that is to remain vegetated. On the eastern shoreline, they're proposing a 400-foot steel bulkhead that will transition into another 100-foot bulkhead on the southern shoreline, and then they plan to propose a 111 and 73-foot concrete boat ramp. Total, this will require filling and dredging of 3,299 square feet of tidal wetlands. This is a cross-section looking west-east within the basin. On the west side, you can see that there are no impacts proposed to the existing vegetation. Moving east across the basin, you can see the area proposed for dredging and then the bulkhead on the eastern shoreline. This is a cross-section looking south to north. So along the southern shoreline, you can see the proposed boat ramp, and then moving out towards the James River, you can see proposed dredging at minus 8 near the boat ramp and minus 15 further out into the basin. This is a plan view of the proposed dredging, both within the basin and in the James River. The area in yellow is highlighted because that is in the James River and of interest to the Commission. They're proposing to dredge 2,700 cubic yards of state-owned bottom to a maximum depth of minus 15 feet at mean low water. They will use a clamshell method, and the material will be transferred in watertight trucks to an upland location on site. They're also proposing to install three timber pile mooring dolphins, but that is within the basin and outside of the jurisdiction of the Commission. This is a cross-section of the proposed dredging within the James, and they're proposing, again, to minus 15 feet at mean low water. So this is an approximation of the impact areas. Yellow is associated with dredge impacts. Red is associated with fill. Total is 3,299 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands. Historically, BMRC has not required compensation for non-vegetated wetlands. However, they are a valuable resource and mitigation should be considered. In addition, the shoreline is not truly unvegetated. It's just vegetated with a non-jurisdictional plant. Therefore, staff believes that it's prudent to require compensation, especially given the large area of proposed loss. Now, the applicant has previously purchased mitigation credits in a non-tidal bank, the Scandia Mitigation Bank in Henrico County. They paid for 4,790 square feet of credits of wetlands. Now, it's not usually appropriate to compensate for tidal wetland losses in a non-tidal bank, but given the unique nature of the non-jurisdictional plant and the fact that the bank is located in the same watershed and does provide some of the same services as the tidal wetlands, and there was no place on site to create wetlands, staff feels that this mitigation is acceptable. Now, staff made an unscheduled site visit on April 8th of this year, and it was just to go over, confirm the extent of jurisdictional wetlands and check for possible on-site compensation areas prior to bringing the matter before you today. When we arrived on site, Mr. George Duncan, the agent, was actually on site meeting with the county. Before we accessed the site, he advised staff that some shoreline work had been done, and the work came close to the mean-high water line. We went down and reviewed the site, and we found that the work did appear to encroach channel or mean-high water. We advised Mr. Duncan at the time that we needed to go back and compare from original site photographs, which we did. And this is just a brief comparison of original site conditions and then after the work was done. These photographs, this comparison did show that there was a grading that occurred channelward of mean high water, and that this changed the natural contours of the wetlands and constituted a use of tidal wetlands without a permit, and therefore it's a violation. Any upland grading or clearing that would have occurred did not require a permit from the commission, but grading below mean high water did. And it was not apparent when we were out there that were any erosion and sediment control measures were in place while the work was being done. So staff followed up with the county to determine what erosion and sediment control measures were required for the project. This led to a second site visit on April 17th of 2013. Mr. Duncan, the agent, was there with two representatives from the applicant company and then two county representatives, Mr. Scott Flanagan, the water quality manager, and Mr. Robert Claudio, the senior environmental construction inspector, was also there. At the time of the visit, the applicant had installed turbidity curtain at the mouth of the basin. You can see it here in the pictures. It's a yellow curtain there at the mouth. According to the county, the erosion sediment control, Mr. Claudio, he confirmed that the turbidity curtain was consistent with the county's approved erosion sediment control plan. So that took care of the county's requirements for erosion sediment control. And as far as conducting work in the RPA, the resource protection area, Mr. Flanagan said that while they did have approval to work in the resource protection area, they had not yet received their land disturbance permit. So he just asked that the applicant stabilize the shoreline until work can be done pending the issuance of the MRC's permit. As far as we were concerned, we discussed the nature of the violation with the applicant and Mr. Duncan. They're very cooperative. Mr. Duncan explained that the work had not intended to encroach channelward and mean high water. He called it aggressive mowing that got too close to the line. And pending the commission's consent, they have agreed to pay a civil charge in lieu of further enforcement action on behalf of the commission. So to summarize and go through our recommendation, the wetlands impacts and violation will require action from the commission, as well as the proposed dredging in the James River, which requires a Sebaquia permit. We could have administratively handled this issue. However, we included it for permit continuity and project completeness. We received no comments or protests in response to the public interest review. And the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries and the Department of Conservation and Recreation both provided comments, but neither agency identified major concerns with the project. Chesterfield County gave substantial approval, site plan approval for the project on January 23rd of 2013. Staff supports the project, but we believe, however, the commission should address the wetlands violation prior to making determination on the permit. The applicant and the agent knew a BMRC permit was required and pending, but carried out shoreline work, risking that they might encroach into a jurisdictional area. While the clearing and grading are necessary for the construction of the terminal, which staff does support, the work was conducted without a permit and without proper erosion and sediment controls. So staff believes the commission's acceptance of a civil charge in lieu of further enforcement action will adequately address the violation, and the applicant has agreed to pay a civil fee. Should the commission desire to accept the payment of a civil charge, we would recommend the charge be based on a moderate impact and a moderate degree of deviation or noncompliance. This would amount to $6,000 based on the civil charge matrix. Accordingly, provided the civil charge issue is resolved, after evaluating the merits of the project and after considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1205A and 28.2-1302 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval with permit conditions that require the applicant adhere to a time of year restriction from February 15th to June 30th to minimize impacts to anadromous fish, require the implementation adherence to erosion and sediment control measures during construction, and require our standard dredging conditions that require notification and dredge surveys. Staff also recommends the assessment of a royalty in the amount of $1,215 for the dredging of 2,700 cubic yards of state-owned submerged land at a rate of 45 cents per cubic yard. The applicant is represented, and I will answer any questions the commission may have.
Questions for Juliet at this point? Seeing none, you're suggesting we take up the wetlands violation first before we consider the permit?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Is Smith Iron and Metal Company represented?
I'm George Johnson.
Agent?
I
swear you in. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you, God?
Yes, I do.
Just state your name again for the record, please.
George Junkin.
So, Mr. Junkin, can you speak to the violation and the willingness to pay a civil charge of $6,000?
Yes, I can.
How did it happen?
It happened because the client didn't realize. He thought he had all the permits. He's got his Corps of Engineers permit. He has his DEQ permit. He has the VDOT permit, has all the other permits. We were scheduled for the hearing. I gave him a big book of all his permits and what he was required to do. And he was down there. He had a contractor down there that was cleaning debris out of it, and he got a little over-aggressive, and he took the stuff out. It was one day of work. I ironically was picking up the sediment erosion control permit that day. Went down to the site, and he had encroached on the water line. Now, he had also, mind you, paid his mitigation. He bought the mitigation. He bought all that. He's not a typical developer. He works just in his own business. He's building this place for himself. He's not used to all the rules. He honestly thought he had all his authorizations. And it's a voluminous group. We started the permit process about 2 years ago. We got our Corps of Engineers permit in December. We got our DEQ permit. We got our coastal zone consistency permit. We had all the approvals for VMRC, but we were waiting on getting final approval on the site development before we could be finish it off at VMRC. We were supposed to be on the commission last week, so he thought we were, not last week, last month. We slipped on that meeting time. We ended up on this one. He didn't intend to have any problem. The work wasn't done in the water. There was no sedimentation. We were in line with our plan as designed, which was to work at low tide. All the work that was done was there was no dirt brought in, no real grading. This is all a man-made facility. It was all gravel. It was an old gravel pit. What he did was he used a grapple, and he pulled out the trees. And that's all that he did. But he, like Juliet said, we had all the permits down to the high water line, but we didn't have them beyond the high water line. But he assumed we had all of it except for what VMRC normally does, which is channel work or in the James River proper, because the whole site was man-made. So he inadvertently heard me say that what we're looking for from VMRC was the James River, the dredging in the James River, which we obviously couldn't do now because of the restrictions. He didn't hear that he couldn't be on the shoreline. But he knows it now, and he's got the message.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Junkin?
When you compare those pictures, it looks like it's a rather egregious attack on the shoreline.
I think the staff describes it as a moderate impact. So,
You know, for some reason I don't happen to have my matrix, but I can't.
That moderate, staff is recommending moderate, based on moderate impact and moderate degree of deviation, a civil charge of $6,000, which the client has agreed to pay.
That's correct.
Okay. Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak on this issue? Okay. Seeing none, any final questions? Matters before the commission? What do you want to do on the violation?
I would move to accept the recommendations of staff on this matter. I think it appears to be, I can't tell exactly how much of the shoreline was impacted from the photographs. Are we able to take one more question about the footage impact?
Sure.
Was that calculated? Is that already in our materials?
Juliet?
Approximately 600 feet, and that is what's in the materials.
Okay.
And it's a very narrow reach. And just to be clear, there's an asphalt road immediately at the top of the slope all the way around in this location.
Okay.
So the area that used to be maintained, it went into disrepair because the guy that owned it had passed away and has recently been purchased by Smith RMO.
Okay.
So my motion would be to accept the recommendations. I don't see much in the way of any concern with regards to the dredging that's being permitted along with this. It's really the focus is on the violation, and with the acceptance of the penalty from the respondent, I would go ahead and support the recommendations of staff.
All right. So the motion is to approve a staff recommendation for a civil charge of $6,000. Is there a second to that motion? Seconded by Mr. Tankard.
I'll comment as well. You know, we're really talking about an area between high and low water, very small bandwidth, and as the applicant talked about here, he had all kinds of other permits. It was a borrow pit. I dare say that many applicants would realize that they had to do anything with regard to an old borrow pit that we just said that the bottom is not state-owned. It's just that the lip around the sides, which is almost hard to fathom. So I'm very sympathetic to the applicant in this regard. And usually when I see things torn up that's shoreline, I like to be somewhat aggressive. But in this case, I feel sympathetic to the applicant, and I'll second this motion.
Okay. Any other comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. All right. Now, back to the issue of the permit. We get a motion on that?
I move to approve the permit.
I'll second that motion.
Motion by Mr. Tankard, second by Mr. Plumley. Any comments on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Permit is issued. Thank you. Item 7, 6M LLC. Yes.
For clarification for the record, with regard to the permit and the approval of the project, are we just saying that was with the staff recommendations for coming here?
Certainly.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes.
Make sure that was
yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.